Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to need help from a couple of guys. This is not anything that's going to last over about 2 minutes, but if I could have Dada, could you come up, please? And let's see, Cliffy? And is Atong capable or is he wounded? Come on up here. It's just going to be at the beginning of the sermon, so it's going to be right after the opening illustration. So I'm just going to use you guys for a moment. Here's what you're going to do in a moment. And you got to be in this order, please. Okay? You'll understand. This is nothing complex. It's just something I want you to visually see. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. This morning's message, so all of you know, is not going to require anything of you. It's actually just something I'm going to try to do. You ever say something like this, I need to get my bearings? Or, I need to get the lay of the land. When you're in a different place, Mark, where did Mark go? He told me I can't believe you were in the same area in the Southwest that we were. But the Halls were there, the Duncans are still there. There was a bunch of people out there in the same part of the world on vacation. But you got to get your bearings. Which way's north? Which way's south? Which way's east? Which way's west? Otherwise, you can get really lost. Yes or no? This morning is, let's get our bearings. Let's get the lay of the land. It's going to be a positive message. It's very simple, but I really just want to establish something about the Christian faith, and that I think will help us. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. Let's stand, please. We'll read this together. Genesis 2 and verse 15. Verse 15, 16, and 17, and the emphasis will be on verse 16 and 17. Most every idea will come from this, or be all of them be related to these verses. This, of course, is in the process of creation. The Bible says, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And by the way, before there was a fall, before there was a curse, before there was sin, there was work. After there's a fall, after sin is gone, after all evil is gone, there will still be work because his servants will still serve him. So if you don't like work, we have a problem. By the way, you're not denying Christianity, you're denying humanity. Verse 16 is where I want to spend the time. And the Lord God commanded the man. Everybody understand this is the first, and the title this morning is the first commandment, because this is the first commandment, not the greatest commandment, but the first. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest what? I like that verse. Verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. I'm going to speak this morning on the first commandment, or we could call this getting our bearings or getting the lay of the land, whatever term you prefer. That's all this is going to be. I'm just going to try to establish this whole broadly conceived Christian faith in its broadest conception. How do we relate to God? Is God a mean old God in heaven? Or is God, he plays games with us. You know, if we do what he wants, then he does something good for us. If we don't do what he wants, he does something. How do you visualize our relationship with the living God? Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that we can come and think about something that's precious. It's very, very beautiful. And Lord, I would have liked to have thought that I would have been able to see this on my own about 40 years ago. But just hearing it and seeing it in a book one time has transformed some really profound ideas. Forgive me for my own weaknesses. forgive me for my own blindness. Because certainly sometimes we cannot see what is obvious in Scripture. Help us all to hear this morning as I try to establish getting our bearings. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Men, I'm going to use you in just a moment. And when I ask you, I'm going to have you stand up on the platform this way. And you got to be in the right order or my illustration isn't going to work. A little over 2 weeks ago, my wife and I flew from here to Albuquerque, New Mexico for our anniversary, our 40th anniversary. I had some requirements when we went. My wife wants me to have everything organized. She comes along because she enjoys the ride. So I kind of had the big picture in my mind, kind of where we were going to go, except we did a few weird things. We knew what we wanted, so I got the tickets, obviously paid for the tickets, got the vehicle. And when we got to Albuquerque, you know, you do the normal things, get off the plane, get your luggage, and we have to go get on a little bus that takes us over to get our vehicle. Somebody asked, did I drive out? No, my name is not Mike Hall. Mike drove out. He and Pam went farther than we did and came back in like a week. I'm too old for that. I don't know how. Pam is still young. I guess she can handle it. So we went out and we got our luggage, got on the shuttle bus, went over to pick up our vehicle. And I wanted, it's in the mountains, okay? Mark, if you notice, there's mountains out there. It's 6,000 feet, pretty much the lowest you're going to find, and it goes up from there. I drive a Prius. When you have those mountains, I thought, I don't want to hit a mountain with my Prius. So I wanted an SUV, something a little bigger than my Prius. I didn't want a monster, but I wanted something bigger. And I wanted really simple things. I wanted to put our luggage in. Number two, I wanted to buy a great big ice chest. Because we're not wealthy, so once we got our vehicle in the ice chest, we filled it up with ice. It was so big, it took 100 pounds of ice, and the ice chest was one-third full. And we filled it up with food because we eat on our own, and we bought it all at Sam's Club in Albuquerque. So I wanted a big enough car to put that in. And oh, by the way, what did we do with that ice chest? We gave it to your missionary, thank you very much, the Nelson family, when we left. So we went to get the car. I got there. The guy wanted to get me to get insurance. I said, no, my car insurance covers this, thank you. He says, yes, but blah, 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 blah. And I said, how much is it? He says, $38 a day. What? What do you want me to do here? I said, we'll be okay. He said, okay. So he said, you want a SUV? I said, yes. I don't want the mini SUV that's basically a Prius in a different shell. I wanted something kind of, you know, a little bit bigger than my 1.5 cylinder engine, you know, that massive Prius sound. He said, well, we don't have the one you're looking for. I wanted like something above a RAV4, something right above that. He says, we got one. So I said, okay. I didn't know what it was. I don't know vehicles. I drive a car. I'm telling a long story, am I not? We walked out. We couldn't find the car. I was going to the wrong 13. And finally, we found the car, and they got us, for no extra charge, a Ford Expedition. You understand the engine's bigger than my entire car. I looked at that thing, and I'm like, my second thought is, Jenny, you're driving. She would not drive it. She needed a ladder to get into it. And I needed a crash course to figure out how it worked. You get inside. I couldn't find the stick shift anyplace. Then I found out there's just a little thing you just turn. And you turn it from park to neutral or to reverse to neutral to drive. And of course, it has a light. Color light, of which I can't see the color. That wasn't the real problem. I got the thing backed out. I started to load it up. I went to the back. I wanted to put our luggage in, and I kept pushing the seats and looking for levers, and the guy behind me wasn't happy, and I had to tell him, I actually had to say in Christian love, you're going to have to wait. Then I found out the back seat, it seated eight. You know, it had three rows of seats because there's two of us. We need three rows of seats. There was buttons. You just push the button and the back seat just folds down. Just folds down. You say, did you like to drive the vehicle? Scared me to death. I don't drive big vehicles. Yesterday when I took Dada out to eat, he and I went to eat, I'm in my Prius and I felt like I was driving a skate. You know, you got this engine, then I got the Prius. No sound. It took us a while. I tell that story. It's funny, isn't it? It took me a while to get the what? Lay of the land. How do you drive this big monstrosity? How do you keep it on the road? How do you know what things work? How do you turn lights on? Oh, it had more bells and whistles than I'm used to. Well, this morning, what I want to do is I want us to get the lay of the land. So, gentlemen, if you walk back here, please, with your appropriate sheets in the appropriate order. For the rest of you, if you'll look back at Genesis 2, 16 and 17, in just a moment, guys, and I'll have you hold those up in not yet, please. If you look at the text again, verse 16, obviously this is before the fall. This is before anything goes wrong. In verse 16, it says, and the Lord God did what? He commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. To get the basic lay of the land, we have to understand, and this is not new with me, Thomas Boston thought of this and put this together with similar words in the 1800s. If you've never thought of it, you have to consider humanity in the four possible stages. So we start with human nature or human as created. That's where we're at here. Now the problem is no one in this room is in this condition. Because something happened in Genesis 3. We are now no longer just created. We are what? Say it. We are what? By the way, do you have any urges that are sinful? You ever hear somebody say, well, that's the way God made me. Friend, are you a Christian? Do you think biblically? God didn't make your sin and you're stupid. That comes from our sin in the beginning and every consequence thereafter. I have many desires that are ungodly. Don't blame it on God. It's our fault. We're fallen. So human nature started out in the situation of being created, in its primeval integrity in the beginning. Then, because of man's sin, every single person, including you, is now fallen. Now, here's the good news. By the grace of God, right at the beginning, all the way through the Old Testament, obviously, but much more manifest in the New Testament, we have the third stage, which is, hold it up high enough where everybody can see it, redeemed. So we have, in this room, we have exactly two possibilities, with the third one very close for some of us. We're no longer fallen. You can drop that, created, because yes, we're created, but we're not created the way God made us. Do we all agree with that? We're now fallen. We're either fallen or, by God's grace, we're redeemed. We're in one of those two states. So everything I'm going to talk about this morning, getting the lay of the land, getting your bearings, you're going to have to ask yourself a question. Which of these two categories am I in? Am I just a fallen person that hates God and hates rules and hates for God to say things to me and hates for God to interfere with my fun? Or you could be in this condition, you are redeemed. Now, there is a fourth condition of human nature, a possibility. Transformed. For some of you, that might be today. You say, why? If you die, if you're saved, you go to be with the Lord. You no longer have your sin nature. You are transformed into His image. Amen? The rapture could happen today. We could put on Christ and be transformed in His image today. So, now if you'll bring yours up, here are the four conditions of, and by the way, when you read the Bible, you have to have these in mind to understand humanity. when someone says to me, God just made me with this problem, please don't blame sin on God. That comes because of your fallen human nature, which is not from God. God created us truly righteous and holy with choices. We made wrong choices, and you say, well, I'm not Adam, I'm not Eve. I can just say it in this way. There's much more that can be said. If you were there, you'd have done the same thing. You sinned in Adam. He represents you, and you sinned in him because you're part of that human nature, humankind. We are now either fallen or redeemed. Thankfully, one day we'll be transformed, and everybody will want to serve Christ that saved perfectly at that time. Thank you, gentlemen. That's all I need. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16. So we're going to consider human nature mainly in these two, fallen and redeemed. Unsaved and saved. But fallen is the more theological construct. It helps us understand that something is wrong. In verse 16, God gives in the creation, in the very first part, he gives the first commandment. Now, this is not the highest priority commandment, but it was the first commandment in time. He says, and the Lord God commanded the man, Adam, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. I'm going to say four simple truths this morning to give us, please friend, look at me, to give us the lay of the land, to help us understand. To help us understand how to drive a Prius or Ford Expedition. My Prius would fit in the trunk of that Ford Expedition. They're different. The Prius, you're right there on the, you know, in that big Expedition, you're way up high. Some of you like to be way up high. I don't know. My wife likes to climb that ladder to get into the vehicle. What can I tell us about the lay of the land? Number one, I'm going to say four simple truths. Friend, I don't care if you write it down. I'm going to wait till some of you wake up because I'm starting to realize, sorry, sleepyheads, you were sleeping on the other pastors that were preaching too. I ask. It's an abomination to come to church and sleep on God. Did you hear me? Number one, and I want to speak really, I'm going to speak primarily to these young girls, these young guys. I want to speak to young people this morning. Here's the lay of the land. Whether you're saved this morning or not, whether you're just fallen or whether you're also redeemed, here's the lay of the land. Number one, there are some things we can't do. And today we got to start there. There are some things we can't do. And you better get over it. You just can't do everything as a Christian. Now, you can find a church today. Well, they call themselves churches. Where now you can do anything and go to that church. But friend, in the very beginning, first commandment, God eliminates this idea that we are God and that we as God can do anything we want to do. There are some things we can't do. Just the way it is. If you notice in verse 16, it says, and the Lord commanded. This is a commandment. Verse 17 says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. Why? For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. These are commandments. Both parts are commandments. There's a positive part, there's a negative part. And the negative in the created order only contained one negative, and only one. You are not to eat of the tree. The one tree, and only that one tree. That was the only requirement that God made. So I want to say this. Everybody look at me. There are some things you and I cannot do. You're going to determine whether you get over it or you fight it the rest of your life. It's just that simple. There are some things we cannot do. In the beginning, there was only one, you cannot eat of that tree. Young people, please. Hey, young people. I'm speaking directly to you because the old folks are either fixated into their TV mode But your age, you're going to be challenged in 1,000 ways to live outside the boundaries of Christianity. So Pastor Warren wants to give you the biblical lay of the land. As a redeemed person, there are some things I cannot do. Now you say, what are they? Well, I'm glad you asked. Hold your hand here because we're coming right back here. Look at Exodus 20, would you please? Exodus chapter 20, would you please? Everybody find it. Now please look at me. In the very beginning, in the creation, there was only one commandment that they couldn't do. There was one tree, you can't eat of it. Yes or no? I want you to actually hear what I say. I said, number one, there are some things we cannot do. I didn't say there were a million things you can't do. Just some. Some things are outside the parameters. Now we could spend weeks talking about this, but I think the greatest summary is the summary in the scripture. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, please. And remember, human nature is either in what state today? Fallen or redeemed. Exodus chapter 20 is not given to fallen people. It was given to redeemed people who already knew the Lord, of whom the Lord already knew, and whom the Lord had already redeemed. Yes, if you're not redeemed here, you're going to find God's commandments problematic. Look at the text, chapter 20, verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now there's symbolism there, but minimally, these commandments are given not to created only people, because that doesn't exist. They were not given to fallen people in the sense that they were still fallen. They were given to people that had been redeemed, and that God was transforming more and more into his image. Redeemed people. Verse 3. Here are the commandments. It's pretty straightforward. I'm not going to read all the verses, just the highlighted parts. Verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. There's only one God, and he's the God you worship. Verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, carved images, or any likeness. Verse 5. The implication being, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. This is not talking about you can't draw art or take a photo. This is talking about you don't create a false image of a god and bow down and worship that false image. So, two commandments so far. Only one God, and you're to love and serve him. No other gods. And you don't make false images of any variety to serve. Verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That's one of the things we cannot do. We don't use God's name flippantly. We don't use God's name as a curse word. I got a question. We have people from other cultures. Please look at me. Why is it that when someone's not even from America, they speak Spanish as their first language or Polish or whatever, when they come here, the first words they use is Jesus Christ as a curse word? I've worked with people and they barely speak English and they say, well, Jesus Christ. Do you understand? That is forbidden. That's not how we reference God. I could say a lot more. By the way, there are some things we cannot do. We can only have one God. We can't make images of God and worship them and kiss them and all those things. We cannot use God's name improperly. Jewish people, after the Babylonian captivity, took this to extremes. If you've ever heard a Jewish person read the Old Testament, when they come to the word Lord, they'll either say Adonai, as opposed to Yahweh, or they will say, if you've ever heard, Hashem. And if you don't read Hebrew, Ha is the word for the, and Shem is the Hebrew word for name. So they will not even call God by name. When they see the word God, they'll say Hashem, the name. That's pretty extreme. Next, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Here are four things, one positive, three negative. No other gods, no false image, no idols. Don't use God's name in vain. And verse 8, for the Old Testament saint, for the Jewish believer, they were to meet together to worship on the Sabbath day. For the New Testament believer, we come together on the Lord's Day, but the principles are the same. Verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother. There are two positive commands. There are eight negatives. But all of these are things we, in one fashion or another, cannot do. Verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother. Verse 13, thou shalt not kill. Verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. Verse 15, thou shalt not steal. Verse 16, thou shalt not bear false witness. If you don't know what that means, is thou shalt not lie. Verse 17, thou shalt not covet. Young people, not so young people. Christianity, if you want to get the lay of the land, there are some things we cannot do. This is a pretty good pattern. There's probably some other things we can talk about, yes. But this is the basics. This is what we can't do. I've heard people say this, I can't stand Lake County Baptist. The place is too negative. Eight of the Ten Commandments that God Himself gave are no's. They're negative. I don't believe the Christian life is negative, but to get the lay of the land, wait a minute. If you go home today and you just write, hey, go home today. Don't do it, please. Do not do it. But go home today hypothetically and drive on the wrong side of the road and tell people, I have liberty in Jesus. And you have liberty right before that Ford Expedition runs over you. Friend, you can't do whatever you want to do. These commandments give us a path. Now, the commandments are not really given to fallen people because fallen people aren't interested. They're given to people who have been saved by God's grace as kind of a path. Here's the lay of the land. Here's the rules. Here's the getting your bearings. You say, Pastor, I hate church. It's too negative. Too many rules. Too many no's. And I say to you, I don't believe the Christian life is that way. I think there are some things we cannot do. Some things. Let me give you two examples of this. On Thursday, we flew back to Chicago from Albuquerque. As some of you know who I'm talking about, my brother and a half, Peter Sy, and his daughter, which is in town because she's back doing something with the Air Force, they picked Jenny and I up at the airport. And I'm telling you, Isabel was in a talky mood. I sat in the front across from Peter. Jenny sat back here. Isabel sat behind me. And Isabel talked from the moment we got in that car into the moment they dropped us off. She went. Part of it is she's on her own for the first time in the great country of England. And she's in the what? Air Force. This is what she said two or three times. You know she said it. A lot of rules in the Air Force. Look at me. This is what I say to them. Duh! You're in the Air Force! What did you expect? I literally had a fella years and years ago. He wasn't in our church, but I knew him, that went to Bob Jones University, hated the rules at Bob Jones University, got mad at Bob Jones University, and Bob Jones had a lot of rules. Said, I hate the rules. I'm joining the Marine Corps. It's like, certainly, there are no rules in the Marine Corps. So the whole way home, Isabel is talking about what she's doing on the base and how she's helping and what she's learning. And three or four times she says that the rule, there's a lot of rules. And it's like, hello? Does Christianity have a lot of rules? Frankly, I don't think nearly as many as some think. I think there's pretty much a path. Get in the path. And just enjoy it. If you're redeemed. Now, if you're still fallen, what's wrong with me doing what I want to do? What's wrong with my parents say I'm not supposed to have sex before marriage? That's so old-fashioned. Yeah, it was about as old-fashioned as God, the one that invented those rules. You say, well, I can do whatever I want. Yes, you can, but you can't do what you want without consequences. Now, I'm just going to say this, and I love Isabel. It was just funny. She said this three or four times, and she had even said this to me earlier. We have a young man over. You got your master's in England, right? She said the funniest thing. She said it in the trip, and she emailed me or texted me on WhatsApp. She said, Pastor Warren, Everything in England is backwards. Please look at me. Do English people think what they do is backwards? They think we're backwards. Jenny and I discovered this. You know, if you grow up in America and you walk into a museum and the museum is circular, we did this in England and Scotland several times. When you walk in, because you drive on which side of the road? You use that funny word. We drive on the right side of the road. England thinks we drive on the wrong side of the road. Do you realize in England they drive on the wrong side, the left side? So when they enter a building left. Do you know by instinct you enter a building to the right? You ought to see the Brits look at you when you're trying to enter the building in the wrong direction. What are you doing? You're supposed to go that way, and we're trying to go this way. You got to get the lay of the land. Now, turn your Bibles back to Genesis 2, would you please? Because I want to move on to the part that I wanted to talk about this morning. Folks, you ever learned something? No. I got this question. Have you ever learned something? Hey. Have you ever learned something you could tell somebody, I learned something that I didn't know before? This is one of those aha moments for me. I know exactly where I learned it from. Sinclair Ferguson. A book called The Whole Christ. And it's like, why haven't I seen this and thought about this and meditated on this my whole life? Let's go back to Genesis 2, verse 16 and 17, would you? 2:16 and 17. The lay of land is this. There are some things we cannot do. Do we all agree with that, Christian? Some things. Wait a minute. I didn't say everything. I didn't say 10 million things. This is not that kind of a, you know, that's not Christianity. But there's something that I missed. Why did I miss it? Look at verse 16, everybody. And the Lord God commanded the man. So we all recognize this is a command, yes or no? Saying, do you know the first line is a command also? It's part of the commandment, not just the negative part. Hello. Do you know I had never noticed that in my entire life? Do you realize how that transforms and gives you a better picture of God from the beginning? By the way, God didn't begin by saying, my whole God's goal in life, I want you to have a miserable little life. God begins by saying, hey, look out there. Here's the garden of every tree. Did you hear the word every? Yes or no? Thou mayest do what to that tree? Can you imagine? The first commandment is, look at it out there, Adam. All of those trees, all those fruit trees, I don't know what kind of fruits were on them. We'll get to that in a minute. But of every one of them, you may, what? Not eat. Freely eat. That's the first part of the commandment. Why haven't you noticed that? Why do we backdoor everything? We begin by saying, there are churches like that. Or we have churches that have no rules at all. By the way, there are some things we cannot do as Christians. We all agree with that. But there are, number two, there are many more things we can do. Many more. How many trees were in the garden? Fruit trees. I don't know. But I'm guessing there wasn't just two. You know, this one and that one. I'm guessing there was a whole garden full of fruit trees. I don't know how many fruit trees we have in the world. You know, where I grew up on the farm, we had peach trees, apple trees, and cherry trees. I've been in the Philippines where they have mangoes, coconuts, I mean in their backyard. What else? Bananas. What? Durian, too. Durian, where you're from, brother. If you haven't had the privilege of durian, don't eat it. Let's read this verse together again. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. You see, the very first commandment was both positive and negative. But it was mostly positive. I'll say that again. It was mostly positive. He said, look at all those trees. Of all those trees, thou mayest freely eat. They're all yours. There was just that one that you're not supposed to eat of. Friend, there are some things we cannot do, but there are many more things we can do or we can enjoy. So here's the lay of the land from the very beginning of the faith, of creation. God creates a world. He creates the world for us. He does put some limitations in the beginning, just one. That tree over there of good and knowledge, the knowledge of good and evil, I don't want you to eat of it. For everything else, you can eat. You can not only eat, you can eat as much as you want. That's God's thinking. That's the lay of the land. So the first commandment is both positive and negative. But it's mostly positive, and interestingly to me, the positive precedes the negative. Because in a real sense, God is a good God. Psalm 119 verse 45 says, I will walk at liberty. Why? For I seek thy precepts. Jesus says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you or make you free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free truly or in your existence indeed. The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Wow, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Turn your Bibles to one text. We'll come right back here. 1 Timothy chapter 6, would you please? 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're going to learn to look at two texts in a moment. I'm going to try to finish this sermon sometime today. I will tell this to all of you. I believe what I'm saying this morning will make or break you as a Christian. You better get a biblical lay of the land. There are two false ways of looking at it. On one side, there is a group that just controlling everything is evil. If you smile, they're not happy. If you enjoy yourself, they're angry. On the other extreme, which is today Christianity, there are no rules. God loves you. Whatever that means that God loves you, just go do what you... Friend, there are some things we cannot do. But there are many more things we can do. If I had one sermon to preach, forget one sermon. If somebody asks me, what I do with my money? 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, 18, and 19 are the greatest verses in the Scripture about money. And if I was to say the very first thing to do with your money, I wouldn't tell you to get a book by that Christian guy that tells you how to handle your finances. Nothing wrong with the books. Because actually, it gets you fixated on money. Here's what God says. Verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world, and that would be you and me. Because remember, riches in the ancient world is you had more than enough to eat for today. Are any of you in danger of starvation today? If you didn't go to the grocery store, could you survive the next week? Probably longer than that. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us, here it is, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. My friend, I look at the Christian life differently, maybe. I want to start with saying there are some things we cannot do. As a redeemed person, I cannot live certain ways. But there's many more things I can do. And our great God gave us these things to enjoy. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now, can I tell you where this applies? Are you listening? I'll have some pious Christian. What were you doing the last 2 weeks? And I will tell them, we were on vacation. And they will say, were you on a missions trip? No, I do that in October. Were you preaching? No, I was in the listening My wife was preaching for 2 weeks and I listened. Did you? Look at me. And they can't quite understand why you would go on vacation. Look at me. Because I wanted to enjoy God's world. Is that okay? My first comment about money is actually enjoy what God gives you. You say, that's strange. I don't know what those were on those apple trees, those trees. Were they apples? I like apples. Were they peaches? Durazno? I like peach juice. Were they pears? Were they bananas? Mangoes? Cherries? Coconuts? I tend to think on some of those trees there were M&Ms. And I know in heaven there's going to be trees with M&Ms. You just go and pick you a bag as you walk past. It's got to be. And on some other trees, I'm thinking there were probably Snicker bars. I think Nancy is going to be put in charge of a whole orchard called pate trees. So I can eat pate right from the tree. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Ecclesiastes, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. This is another sermon which I'm not going to preach, so just going to reference. My friend, I might just quit after 2 points. If I can give you the lay of the land. Now hear me, you got to consider something. Am I just fallen or am I redeemed? If you're fallen, you don't like anybody telling you what to do. If you're redeemed, most of the time you don't mind when God tells you what to do. So yeah, there's some things you can't do. Duh. But there's many more things you can do. Ecclesiastes 5, and this is a repeated refrain starting in chapter 2 and in chapter 3 and chapter 5, chapter 7. It's found about 6 or 7 times in different ways. Verse chapter 5 of Ecclesiastes, verse 18 and 19. Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him. For it is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath, do you notice these words, God and given, hath given him riches and wealth, and hath given him the power, we could say the ability to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. I want to ask you a question. So you that go on vacation, which is good, I'm going to ask you a harder question. Hey, when's the last time you got on the train and went into Chicago? This is a world-class city. People come from all over the world to visit here. You know the one that you ignore? Let me ask you a second question. When's the last time you've been to the lakefront just to enjoy God's nature? Let's ask you a third question. When's the last time you've driven down Lakeshore Drive, one of the most beautiful scenic drives? You can drive down Lakeshore Drive from the south side all the way around the coast. You can come right up Sheridan Avenue and just enjoy beauty and creation and houses. And I'm asking you a question. May I say this? There are Christians in this room. I understand why your children aren't doing too well. Because you think the Christian life is about keeping rules. I believe the lay of the land is this. There are some things we cannot do. But there are many, many more we can do or enjoy. God giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Wow. I don't even need to ask you when the last time you've been to the Ukrainian Museum, Lithuanian Museum, Polish Museum, because we go on vacation. You have a world-class city right here. When's the last time you just went down to Devon Street, pulled in and just walked and looked at shops for all day? You say, where's Devon Street? That's my point. When's the last time you've been to Argyle Street and Broadway, to Little Vietnam, and just wandered around in shops and you had some bubble? When's the last time you had some bubble tea? Huh? When's the last time you've had some egg rolls from Vietnam? When's the last time you've smelled those? My friend, may I say something to you? The lay of the land is you ought not to be one of these small-minded little people. Our God said in the first commandment, every tree is yours. Freely eat. I would encourage you to freely enjoy this world. except what God forbids. That's the lay of the land. And when I look at our kids, yes, you're going to go to college and you're going to be exposed to things and you're going to face temptations. By the way, you already know there's some things we cannot do. Amen? But if you've grown up in the right kind of home, in church, you know there's 10,000 more things that are good that we can do. And I'm going to enjoy them all. How about you? How about you? So this morning, I'm going to ask two questions. Are you redeemed? Because it's only God's redeemed people that can enjoy things. And secondly, are you enjoying them? My favorite thing in this area, and I don't even have something that all of you have, mostly. Folks, I'm colorblind. Have you ever seen the moon at certain nights coming off the lake? You know, when you're in watching television, you have one of the greatest places on earth, and you never enjoy what God's given you? I loved, Mark, you guys were there, Paul's were there, Duncan's were there, a bunch of people's were in the Four Corners. Beautiful, fabulous. But Mark, when we got off the airport and we're driving home, you know the first thing I noticed? It is so green in this area, it's like the trees are going to rain on you. Because in the Four Corners, it's really dry. Yeah? It's sand. Did I love it out there? Yes. Do I love it here? Every single day. I want to say one last thing and I'm done. Turn your Bibles to James 1, would you? James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 17. James chapter 1 and verse 17. And we are done for this morning. I told you, I really am just trying to set the table. All I want to accomplish this morning. James chapter 1 and verse 17. Everybody find it? There's a lot of other verses that I could reference, but we don't have time. So please look at me, and I'm done this morning. Here it is. Are you ready? There are some things we cannot do. Christians, can I have an amen? There are many more good things we can do and enjoy. Many, many, many more. Don't you become one of those little pinheads that gets fixated on, I can't eat that tree. What about all the rest of them? 10 million things you can enjoy. Here is where we want to conclude because we're really back to the beginning. Both what we can't do and what we can do comes from our loving, wise, gracious Heavenly Father. He's the one that gives us what we can't do and what we can do. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And when God tells you, don't go down that road, that comes from the hand of a gracious, good God. When God tells you, enjoy every tree, that comes from the hand of a good, loving, gracious, heavenly Father. My friend, the lay of the land in a nutshell is this. There are some things we cannot do. There are many more things we can do. Both of those come from the hands of our good, loving, gracious, heavenly Father to His redeemed people. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down, it's like showering, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variables, neither shadow of turning. I want to walk out of this building and I want to enjoy everything God has for me and for you. Yeah. Oh, by the way, there are some things we can't do. And both of them come from the same good God. Father, thank you for your word this morning. See you later.